I do not want to belabor, because I got to unpack. I just got back in town from an incredible weekend, and I'm super excited about tonight's special guest. My name is Nia. I'm from Purpose, Be for Purpose, and this is for Purpose Spotlight. And for the last 5 seasons, so roughly, I think, October of 2021, we've done 5 seasons since the beginning. I've had the wonderful opportunity to highlight men, women alike, and just spotlight them, who are people who are doing some amazing, incredible, very unique type of things. And the Lord put it on my heart, and I found it so cool that it was the end of, you know, the season finale for this particular season. In season 5, and 5 is the number of grace, if you're familiar with biblical numbers and meanings and things like that, that we spotlight the one who is the epitome of being yourself for purpose, the epitome himself, and his name is Jesus. For those who have been a guest, or those who are interested in just kind of how it works, there's about a standard of about 5 questions that I send to people as they're preparing to come on, to let them, you know, just kind of prepare their answers and things like that, so they don't, you know, so they just know how to, in essence, again, just prepare. And what I want to do is I'm going to go through those questions tonight and answer them based on what scripture says, you know, and based on who Jesus said he is and what it is that he does and his message to us right now in this wonderful, interesting, brutal, challenging season that we are all in, just the things that are happening in this generation and in our society. And so I'm really excited about it. I even took notes and things like that. So the first question that I always ask, in some form or another, if you've watched this episode before, it may not sound exactly like this, but the first question that I normally ask is, who are you and what it is that you do? And so I just want to go through the names of Jesus. This is what you see in scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. He is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He is Yeshua. There's a beautiful song that's out with that, which just said Yeshua. Beautiful song. Savior, Master. He is the Good Shepherd. He called himself that. He is Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Bread of Life. He is Living Water. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He is the Lion of Judah. And I find it such a beautiful contradiction, or paradox of being, not contradiction, excuse me, Lord, a paradox of being the Lion of Judah, but also the Lamb of God who was slain. Like, just such an awesome paradox there that we see. We're not going to get into all that, nevertheless, but he is the Lion of Judah. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the resurrection. And as you all know, we celebrated his resurrection yesterday for Easter. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. All those names are in scripture throughout the Old and New Testament. You can find them from Isaiah to all within the Gospels. When you look at Jesus's ministry and Revelation, that passage, you know, Alpha, Omega, beginning and first and last, you see all of that. I believe it's Revelations 21 or 22. And you just see the heart of God. You know, we know that Jesus is God, right? But just looking at the person, you know, since we're spotlighting a person, you know, and this particular person is the one, is the face of the Godhead, the Trinity. And you hear all these things and it's just like, man, what a wonderful God that we serve. You know, all these names that kid that are given to him that are just so beautiful, that are just so awesome and holy. There's no one else like him. You know, no one else can compare to who he is or what he can do. And when you see that, or when you hear that, it's just, how can we not trust him? How can we not believe in him? How can we not, at bare minimum, just get a little closer? Let me really see what this Jesus is really all about. Meaning, you have it just, and we're just on question number one. And he says, I am the bread of, I am the living water. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am life. And especially in this day and age where it's just depression and heartache and grief, just looking at the news, we need life. And we find life in Christ and Christ alone. He is the way. The second question that I ask, what it is that you do? Or it's kind of, well, technically it's this part of this, the first question, who you are and what it is that you do. And you just look at the ministry of Jesus and you see what he did. But I want to point out, and I'm gonna read it straight from the scripture, Luke 4:18. You may already know what that particular verse says, but I'm going to read it here. There's a couple of scriptures we're going to go through. You also see the same passage in Isaiah, but this was part of the prophecy that prophecies of the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled in the New Testament. Luke 4:18. Well, I'll start at 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Jesus speaking. "To preach gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord." That's what he does. He sets us free. He saves us. He delivers us. He restores us. He heals us. Not only internally, you see here the brokenhearted, and you and I both know, you know, there are some brokenhearted people, including ourselves, as time has gone on, life happens, you know, we face trouble, whether we got money or not, you know, whether our family was in our life or not, whatever. At some point, we become brokenhearted for one reason or another. Life happens, trouble happens, but God has come to heal. He's come to set the captives free. He came to set us free, even from the oppression that goes on in our mind. You know, he came to reconcile us back to the Father, back to the relationship that God originally created. That was his original intention, you know, when he spoke and created the universe. Then we see John 3:17. We'll start at John 3:16. You know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then John 3:17 says, "For I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God did not come to condemn the world, but that through that the world through him might be saved." You know, and so God's purpose is not to condemn, but it's to save. And that's so awesome. And I love that so much. And so the second question that I would normally ask a guest on here, first, we just answered, you know, who is Jesus and what it is that he do, what it is that he does. And so the second question is, you know, how did you know? Like, when did you know that, you know, God was going to, God wanted to use you in this magnitude, or that he wanted to do something special through you via whatever? And I want to go to two different scriptures. The first is in the very beginning in Genesis 3:15. And if you're familiar with that chapter, that's the fall of man. Everything was perfect in Genesis 1 and 2. Then everything went downhill in Genesis 3. And so we're going to go there really quickly, right at the beginning, first book of the Bible. And this is what it says. At this point, Adam and Eve, they've already eaten of the fruit, right? And God is basically telling them what's going to happen to them because of their sin, in essence. But now we see Jesus, the ministry of Jesus come into play and what he's going to do. This is how he knew what his purpose was. In verse 15, Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman." He's talking to Satan right now. "And between your seed and her seed," capital S, so that's Jesus right there, "he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So this talks about that battle between Satan and Jesus. And as we all know, Jesus wins. So we see his purpose right there at the very beginning. As soon as sin entered into the world, there was already a redemption plan in place, and Jesus is at the center of it. He is the redemption plan, the redemptive plan. Excuse me. And then we're going to look at Luke 2:49. The book of Luke is pretty dope. Luke 2:49, and that says, "And he said to them, why did you seek?" Oh, I'm sorry. That's 12. What I'm about to read is about when Jesus was at the temple, and his parents were looking for him, and they're like, "Hey, yo, why are you here? We have been looking for you." Oh, it is too far down. I'm sorry. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Right there at the age of 12, Jesus is on the earth. He's been here at this point, like I said, for 12 years. Even at that age, he knew. And there's some discussion, depends on, like, you know, what pastors or preachers or theologians, ministers, whatever, that you talk to, commentaries to kind of understand or to figure out how much God Jesus was while he was here on earth, if that makes sense. Because you do know that Jesus is God and he was both God and man at the same time. But the question is, okay, so what did he do as a kid? You know, did he fully walk in his divinity? And most would say no. He held it back, which shows his, well, which is why you see the word meekness so much, because it's that power under control. He fully took on that human growth, that human development, if you will. But that doesn't mean that he sinned, you know, because we know that he is perfect. He was the perfect lamb. All right. So that's how Jesus knew his purpose. And his purpose, as you know, he's already, we've already said that before. It was to save us and to redeem us back into the perfect plan as God created in Genesis chapter 1. And so the third question, like I said, there's five questions that I normally ask guests when they come on. And, you know, I send this to them before they come on and then they can prepare however they need to prepare. And so we've answered question one, which is, who are you and what it is that you do? And we looked at some of the scriptures there, look at some of the names of God. And we just looked at the two scriptures about what it is that he does. And then the second question, how did you know? And we see the Genesis 3 verse 5 when we're at the fall of man, and then Luke 2:49. At this point, Jesus is fully here on earth, and he's recognizing who he is and who he's called to be about his Father's business. And so what's next? That's always a wonderful question to ask. What's next? What's the short-term, long-term goal? You know, I always ask the guests this, just what's up? And one of his goals, and you can already see it happening right now, and that's just revival. All over the earth, there is this spiritual awakening. It's not just here in this Western society that we're living in, but it is in Africa, it is in Asia. There's things happening, you know, in Europe and in Australia. There's so much that God is doing, that he's waking his church up, he's waking his bride up, which is where we're going to get to, you know, in the next question. But his short term or his long term, you know, is this revival, which is in what we're in right now. This is what he's doing right now. And it's just going to be more and more and more as the people of God wake up and they really go out there and do their Father's business for his sake. And so what else is happening? The devil is busy, because the devil is busy, as we all know, and he is very bold about it. The devil is busy, but God is busier. And I think the cool thing about that is that the devil, so some people don't realize, is that the devil is not all knowing. And I say that because when you look at, we just celebrated the resurrection, and we see that the enemy really thought he won. When Jesus died, he really thought that he won, but he did not know that Jesus was going to raise up from the dead, which is so wild to me. But it just proves that Satan may be powerful and he is strategic, and he does do things, but he does not know everything. He only knows what God allows him to know. And so, yes, the devil may be doing all these things, all these random agendas that you see out there, and what's happening with our kids, and just so, so, so much. But God is busier, and he is raising up a wonderful army. And I hope you are locked, loaded, and ready to be a part of what God is doing right now, to be a part of that army, to take your position and go forth and move forward and just put your battle gear on and put on your armor of God each and every single day, you know, and get your swords ready, your weapons ready, and prayer and fasting and knowing the word, seeking God each and every day, because long term, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back. And that's why I believe that things are amping up as much as they are on both sides of this thing. Because the enemy knows that Jesus is coming back. And he's trying to make sure no one else knows that, and that no one else gets to go to heaven. But Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his people, his church, his bride. and you look at like Ascription Revelations, and if you, I don't know like who else like you follow on either YouTube or Instagram, but you see a lot of videos that are coming out about now about prophecies being fulfilled that are in the book of Revelation and in other parts of scripture, like Daniel and Matthew, when, you know, when Jesus was telling his disciples about his second coming. You know, Jesus is coming back. Like, this isn't a game. He's coming back. So that's what he's up to. That's what he's up to. The spiritual awakening to prepare as many people as possible. Because we all know Jesus wants everybody to save. There's a passage in scripture that says his desire is that no one perishes. And for the simple fact, God, and what people don't understand is that God didn't create hell for people. That's not how that happened. God did not create hell for people. He created it specifically for the devil and his angels. But then sin came into the picture and everything changed. But that was not God's original intention. So he's doing everything he can to bring people closer to him. He's using people like you and me. And the question is whether we will be used, if we will say yes to him. But as we all know, it's a choice. This is a choice we all got to make about what we want to do with our eternity. You said, and I cannot give up on my soul. No, absolutely. Because God hasn't given up on you. You know what I mean? He hasn't given up on you. You know, whether you fall away or you just slowed down or you just, you know, in a dry season, he is the living water. He is the refresher of your soul. He is the lover of your soul, you know, and he speaks to your soul. And when your soul cries out to him, he's going to answer. Absolutely. He's going to answer. And so the fourth question that I ask, so question number one, again, is who you are. What do you do? We went over that. Question number two, how did you know that what you're doing now is ultimately where your main lane is, where your purpose technically lies, at least in this particular season of your life? And then number three, what's next, which is what we just went over. And then number four, what message do you want to live? What message do you want to leave the people? Sometimes I phrase it a little differently, just kind of depending on, you know, how the conversation already went and what it is that person actually does. And so I have a few scriptures. I'm trying to decide if I want to go through all of them. But the message number one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we see a scripture like Romans 10:9-10. And I want to read that one word for word. I feel like that's one of those scriptures I should already know word for word. I'm one of those paraphrasers. That's just me, and that's probably not the best, but at this point in my life, I'm a paraphrase. I know it's in there. I may not know exactly where it is, but I know it's in there. But Romans 10:9-10, it reads as this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are saved only through him, not by going to church, especially not by going to church on one Sunday out of the year, Easter Sunday. Just because you get nice and dressed up and sing a few songs, that does not mean you are on your way to heaven at all. Because there are a lot of people that are going to say, Lord, Lord. And you see this in scripture. Jesus said this as well. There are going to people say, Lord, Lord, but I did X, Y, and Z in your name. He's going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. And that scares the mess out of me. And I hope it scares the mess out of you, because it's like, wait a minute, you know? And let's see, I will put these scriptures in the bottom. I'm not going to read them all, but I'll put them all there if you want to check them out yourself, specifically as relates to his message. There's Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. He's coming back for his people, those who chose him. He's coming back. He's going to show up a second time. You're going to see him. And then I want to look at Revelation 1:7. Beloved, Beloved, he is coming. That's what it says. Revelation 1:7. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So he's coming back. And everybody is going to see him. And when I was actually reading this passage today, my question, I was like, so how's everybody going to see him? I was like, because, you know, when you go to different time zones, it's like, sometimes it's dark in one place and it's light in another place. And then so it's like, you know, just with nature and how things function, you know, how's everybody going to see him? But then just immediately as I just thought about that again, the Lord immediately said he is the bright and the morning star, and that there is no need for sun or the moon or the stars in heaven because he shines bright enough. So whether it's dark on one side of the earth and light on the other side of the earth, the sun's out, the moon's out, whatever side, no matter what, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see him when he cracks that sky wide open. And that's what he wants you to know. That he wants to save you and he wants to have a relationship with you and he wants to meet you and he wants you to come up to meet him in the sky. That's what, you know, you've heard the term the rapture. He's coming back. He's coming back. And then this is the last scripture that I'll give, 1 John 4:4. So you already know he saves. You already know he's coming back. But even in the midst of that, like we said earlier, the devil is busier, but God is busier. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. So no matter what the heck is going on in your life, no matter what the heck happens to you in whatever regard, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And that's just such a wonderful comfort because the devil is he's very obvious. He can be very slick depending on his, whatever he's doing, but he can be very big and boisterous with what he does. But do not be afraid. Have peace because Jesus already overcame. And I'm actually going to put that scripture in there as well. That one I believe is in the book of John. Don't call me on that, but I'm going to put it in there anyway. Every scripture that you are reading gives the who, what, yeah. It's in there. I was talking to my brother about this and just, we were talking about creation versus evolution. And he asked me this, the question he asked me was, what is the spiritual, what is the spiritual danger of believing in evolution? And my answer to him was, because it leaves so many questions unanswered, you know, and I'm not going to get into the depth of all of it, but a lot of life's biggest questions, and some of the ones that are big, there are the big questions, there are those that it's still like, well, wait, how did that come about? You know, for example, something like clothes, something like languages, you know, it's like those two things, like something as simple as that. Genesis. So you look at Genesis, all the questions of life are found in scripture. Every single one of them, life's biggest questions, they're all found in scripture about suffering and how it came about and, you know, is it ever going to go away? Yep. Absolutely. Sin happened, but then Jesus happened. Simple as that. And so the last question is, how can people get in contact with you? You know, you got Facebook, you got Instagram, you got telephone number, you got an email, you got a website. How can people get in contact with you to support, to connect, to follow? And at least for the sake of this prayer and scripture. Simple as that, prayer and scripture. This book right here, you know, all the questions that you would ever ask or have, it's all in here. You know, and prayer, it just... it's your communication with him. And as you go deeper, you know, in your relationship with the Lord, there you will find that there are many more ways that he speaks to you and there are many more ways that you can connect with him. But we're not going to talk about all that today. But nevertheless, prayer scripture, that's just like the basis of it right there and there. Talk to him, listen to him, read his word, and you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. He is knocking. He wants to talk to you. He wants to connect with you. And especially if you're, you know, if you're here in America, like, we have so many resources for that. So many resources, Bibles upon Bibles upon, yeah, absolutely. Bibles upon Bibles, different revelations, different translations, just so much. So much that's out there. Conferences on top of conferences, spiritual books, authors of the millions, like, there's so much out there. But it's nothing like just prayer and scripture. So with that being said, I pray that this blessed you. I pray that you get a, you got a closer look into the heart of our Lord. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you can join me again for the next time on Be You for a Purpose, the podcast.